You're listening to Currently Binging, the podcast about all things TV and movies. Stay connected by rating, subscribing, and commenting on whatever platform you're listening to us on. And now for this week's episode. Hey guys, it is Eva and I'm here with another episode of Currently Binging, the podcast about all things TV and movies. If you're listening for the first time, welcome. Make sure you hit that subscribe button because then you'll be the first to know when there is a new episode. And also, while you're at it, leave a comment, rate, because all that is greatly appreciated. So, without further ado, let's get into this episode. I feel like I say this all the time. I am super excited because we are discussing Spider-Man Far From Home. I know you guys are like, more Marvel movies. Yeah. So I told you guys this was coming. Spider-Man Far From Home stars Tom Holland, Jake Gyllenhaal, Zendaya, is directed by John Watts, and screenwriters are Chris McKenna and Eric Summers. So before we even get into the nitty gritty, let's talk numbers because you know that's how we do it on Currently Binging. So numbers, Rotten Tomatoes, 91% critic score, 96% audience score. And that's so far of this at the time of this recording, because when I looked earlier, I actually saw this. I'll get into the story of me trying to see this movie. But when I looked earlier, it was 1 point higher. So, I mean, that can shift and change. But there you are. CinemaScore is an A. And I have to be honest, I could not find the movie on CinemaScore at all, but I did find the score in an article that was talking about the opening weekend numbers. So take that with a warning as well. I feel like my numbers are like not solid today. But anyway, also we are recording this on the weekend. So technically the weekend is not officially over. This is a Sunday night. So there could be some minor shifts in these numbers, but I don't think it'll be too much. So for the opening, official opening weekend, so that's Friday through Sunday, the movie grossed domestically $93.6 million. But Spider-Man Far From Home came out on a Tuesday. It came out on July 2nd. So it had a, what's that, six-day run? Yeah, 6 days. Wow, that's a long time. So for that domestically, for that whole time period, it did $185 million, blowing out of the water all the expectations that, and what is it, hypotheses and guesses that people have put out there. And we are essentially, we have a record breaker here. And you guys know I like to talk about what records we break. But the biggest one is that for a Tuesday release, this was the largest six-day opening ever. So kudos to Spider-Man and all that. You would think, because I did talk a little bit about superhero fatigue in my last episode, which I was talking about Jessica Jones. So make sure if you haven't listened to that, you check it out. But I was talking in that about superhero fatigue. And so to see that Marvel is still in just a superhero movie in general, because we don't even have to say Marvel. Well, I guess we should say Marvel, because if you stack it up against other superhero movies that released, is still performing fairly strongly. So, and it's like continuously surpassing expectations. So there is that. So let's talk about all the total worldwide number to date so far is about 580 million. And currently, so I know we had a longer released period because this came out on a Tuesday versus Spider-Man Homecoming, which came out on a regular like Thursday night opening weekend type of release. And so even with that, they're saying that this movie is outpacing, or Far From Home is outpacing Homecoming by about 30 million. So, I mean, we'll see, but you know the true numbers come when you look at the second weekend and see what the fall off number is. So those are all the numbers. Oh, the budget was $160 million. For those of you who care about what the budget was. So yeah, and I mean, even with that, of course it came out number one movie of the weekend, but it also seemed like it helped bump some of the other movies that came out or released this weekend as well, because they also performed fairly well. And I mean, you guys know I love movies, duh, I talk about them. And I feel like our slump when it comes to movies is usually, I say January through March, even April, I'll give you April, but usually by the time we get into like the summer, things usually start to pick up. But I feel like we've just been in a slump just in general. And I feel like the movies that people, it's very clear the movies that people are excited about seeing and they're going to see those movies. And then everything else is just not really performing that greatly. So we shall see if this summer bump continues, because I know we are coming off of a holiday weekend, and then we have, what else is coming out next? We have Lion King, which is coming out, which I'm super excited about that one. Like, I cannot wait. You guys know how I feel about live action Disney movies. I'm ready to cry and smile and laugh and all that great stuff. So we have that, and I know a lot of people are anticipating that one, and they put a lot of money behind not even just the movie, but also like the advertising for it, because I mean, it's Lion King, and also there are some heavy hitters involved in this. So yeah, but we're not talking about The Lion King. We are talking about Spider-Man Far From Home. So let's get into this. This was an interesting one because this is the follow-up from our Avengers Endgame, which was essentially like the finale of an era of like Marvel MCU greatness, if you will. But the interesting thing is that while that was this big grand finale, technically we still had one more movie in phase three. And that one more movie is Spider-Man. And Spider-Man kind of closes the loop on phase three for the MCU. And as of now, we have no idea what phase four looks like. And as far as I know, Marvel hasn't really announced when they're going to announce what phase four looks like, because we know they know what phase four looks like. They probably know what phase four, five, and six looks like. I mean, come on, it's Marvel. But we did get confirmation that they will be at Comic-Con later this month, and they're going to have a 90-minute session. So everyone is anticipating that that is where we are going to find out what this next phase of the MCU looks like, because majority of our, we'll say like half of our OGs are gone. And so we're reshaping what the MCU looks like, and we're kind of pushing these new faces to be the ones to lead the MCU into the future. So I'm excited to hear, hopefully that it happens at Comic-Con. If it doesn't happen at Comic-Con, then it's probably going to happen at Disney's big convention thing, which is usually in the fall. So between the Comic-Con and the Disney convention, we should find out what phase four is. But so because this is the final movie in phase three, and it's the, I say, it's like the epilogue to the final chapter of the MCU, where we had all this stuff happen, and it's like, so what does that mean exactly? And we get right into it with Spider-Man. They explain that the time, because it's been, everyone disappeared and 5 years passed during their disappearance, and we didn't go back in time. We kind of brought them to the time that we were in the present in Avengers. So also, if you have not seen Avengers Endgame, you are going to get spoiled. So you probably don't want to watch this. And if you haven't seen Endgame, but you watched Spider-Man, you got spoiled anyway. So I don't even understand. Also, my other warning is that I am not the comic book expert. I just love the movies and the TV shows. And so therefore, I may get some things wrong, and that's okay. We can all agree to disagree and can politely correct if needed. So with all that out of the way, so they explain this 5-year gap, and they essentially are calling it the blip. And so essentially, while because Spider-Man is located in high school, takes place in high school, it's kind of like they came back, they explain what happened with all the kids who left, and now the kids who have returned from the blip are still in school, but they made them repeat the whole school year over, and now they're going on this international school trip. And so Peter is like, this is time for me to take a break. Like, all this traumatic stuff has happened. I mean, it has been traumatic for a teenager, for a 16-year-old. A lot of traumatic stuff has happened. So I don't blame him for wanting to be a kid and just enjoy his school trip. But he is a superhero. And as we know, superheroes, they never really get a break. And so we kind of see him struggling with kind of who he is as a superhero, because Tony Stark is gone. We see Tony literally every single where, everywhere we go, whether it's in the US or it's internationally, we see images of Tony Stark. So we know that Tony Stark had this worldwide impact. And so essentially, Peter has to try to live up to this very high standard. And I mean, he's only 16 years old. So of course he's struggling with what that even looks like. And so he has Happy, who's kind of in his ear. And then he has his aunt who's in his ear. And then all of a sudden he has Nick Fury in his ear. So he has all these people pretty much telling him what he should do. Like his aunt's like, oh, take your suit just in case, because you never know. And Happy's kind of like, you know, kind of trying to deal with it while also secretly dating his aunt. And then we have Fury who shows up out of nowhere. He's like, okay, we need you. And thinking of the end credit scene that we got, I mean, and then I go back and replay every single Nick Fury scene and I'm like, duh, that makes total sense why Nick Fury seemed off. Because I'm not going to lie, he seemed off throughout the entire movie a little bit. And I was just like, okay, maybe he's still dealing with, you know, the ramifications of Tony dying and then being gone during the whole blip thing. And so I'm like, maybe he's just like trying to readjust. But I mean, that end credit scene definitely answered a lot of those questions. So yeah, so he has all this stuff happening. And then he gets, so of course, when he meets Mysterio, played by Jake Gyllenhaal, and he's like, first of all, he's 16. So of course he's going to be gullible. He's going to pretty much want to believe the best in people because, I mean, when you're young, that's just kind of how you function automatically. But of course, that was not really a great plan. And then we kind of find out that Mysterio has been in the background all this time and just really wanted this tech, the Edith tech that Tony left Peter, which is also a big responsibility. He left an expensive piece of tech that can murder people at the sound, at like one command. He left that in the hands of a 16-year-old. So of course that's a lot of pressure. And so I think they did a great job of getting through to us those different emotions that Peter had to deal with. And you guys know I love Tom Holland as an actor. I love like young actors. I'm like, yes, I want to see them in everything. And I've seen him in other movies outside of like the MCU. So I've always thought he was a really good actor. And I think and you guys know, I love him as Peter Parker. You guys know, I was excited when we heard that Peter Parker was going back to high school and then Tom Holland was cast and then seeing him in all the different movies. So I think he did a great job of really portraying that across the screen. Also, Jake Gyllenhaal did a great job because when you see Jake Gyllenhaal and you're just like, he's usually the good guy for the most part. There are some movies where he has been the bad guy, but either side of the coin that he plays it really well. And I think he fit in for him to do like a role that really doesn't, it's like a one-time role, if you will. I mean, it's MCU, so who knows? He might not even really be dead, but I think he really is dead. But for a one-time villain role in this universe, I think he handled it pretty well. I have no knowledge as into the background of Mysterio and who he is, because even going into this, and I didn't really look it up, but even going into this, when they first announced that I was Far From Home and Mysterio was like going to be in it, I thought he was the bad guy. But then I started seeing all this press stuff with Jake Gyllenhaal and Tom Holland and like some of the clips, if you will. And I was like, okay, so is he not the bad guy? And then even how this was happening, and I was like, it took the first, because the movie is 2 hours and 9 minutes. It took the first half of the movie, which, you know, duh, to kind of get us to the point where it's like, oh no, Mysterio is bad. But even still, I was like, I just really don't trust him. Because there's just something about him that is just not lining up. And then we see that he is our villain. So I think that was interesting. Also, just seeing Peter navigate relationships in high school and his whole thing with MJ. And like MJ, I'm sorry, she is like the smartest person. Because it's like, duh, common sense. 1 + 1 = 2. These things don't add up. So therefore, if all this stuff keeps happening when I'm around and when we're around, a certain group of people around, then I'm going to start putting the pieces together. And I think, oh, wait a minute, Peter might be Spider-Man. So, I mean, I love MJ. I love Zendaya as MJ. I love the attitude that she brings to that role. And just, it's a different way of seeing MJ because we're so used to seeing MJ be like this totally different type of a character where she's like happy, but then she's like, I don't know how to explain it. Whereas this MJ is a little more, she's like, She loves murdery type of things. So she's like not like the happiest of the bunch, but you still like her as a character. So I just really like that as well. And then even now knowing that she is also included in what do you call it? Included in, I guess you would call it the crew, who knows? I don't know. He said, was it Ned? I can't think. Yeah, Ned. He said some phrase, and I am literally forgetting what he said. It was like some acronym, essentially, to call themselves. Our Friends of Spider-Man? Yeah, I think that's what he said. Friends of Spider-Man. But yeah, so I think that that's just fun to see how that all involves moving forward in future movies. To see how that all plays out, because I don't know, I think, and also they're gonna have to kind of deal with, well, I mean, now we can talk, because then we, once we put in the mid-credit scene, that all that is negated anyway. But I think it'll be interesting to see how that all figures out in the future, and how much in her safety, because essentially, let's just talk about the mid-credit scene. So the mid-credit scene, essentially Mysterio, he dies, but he, because we had a lot of fake news references in this, a lot of pop culture references in this movie, one of them being about fake news and was fake news versus real news. And so Mysterio, before he died, he releases this manipulated video, I'm assuming with help from some of the bad people who were working with him, who used to work for Tony Stark. And they released this video essentially outing who Spider-Man is, and pretty much with a picture of everything, saying that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. And so now everyone knows his identity, and they can pretty much find him and do whatever. But also, not only that Peter Parker is Spider-Man, but also that Spider-Man used drones to kill Mysterio because he wanted to be the next Tony Stark. So it's just like, I have no idea what the future Spider-Man looks like, but Peter's gonna have to deal with this. Kind of like, talk about him having to live up to Tony Stark, but it's kind of like how his story kind of runs parallel to Tony's story, even though Tony wasn't really outed, he outed himself in a way, but Peter didn't out himself, he's been outed. So it's like, how do you deal with being not only a superhero and being a teenager, but being a superhero teenage boy whose identity everyone knows? So there, that's going to be interesting to see how they deal with that. But I do want to talk about what this movie actually looked like. I didn't even talk about my theater experience. Theater experience was actually not that bad. I went to Old Faithful, the AMC in Emeryville. I saw this in IMAX. It was a 12 o'clock showing on a Friday. So therefore, I was like, even for the day after the 4th of July, I was like, oh, it might be full. But it was half full. It was a good audience. It wasn't like one of those like fanboy audiences where everyone's clapping and all this stuff. They did clap at the end, but it wasn't like a bunch of, you know, you guys know I've talked about these experiences where I'm like, yes, I love this audience. But they were quiet for the most part. And there weren't any interruptions like Endgame. But yeah, so I did see an IMAX. I thought it looked great in IMAX. You guys know that's my preferred viewing experience, especially for action movies, is in IMAX. Because I just love it. And I think I love to see it in the big screen in the format. I think the action sequences looked good. I think the locations looked good. Everywhere they went, it just was like, I kind of was like, usually I would go back and try to figure out what the whole like behind the scenes things were. But yeah, so I think everything overall looked great. I don't really have complaints about the look of the movie or the feel of the movie. I do think it was a slow start in the beginning, but I know they had to work out some things, especially since this is the movie right after Endgame. So there are some questions to answer there. Even though if you look around the web, apparently more plot holes were formed and there are still questions that need to be answered. But I could spend forever trying to figure out what every single plot hole and things are. That's what all those articles are for. So if you are one of those people who like to see like what were the plot holes and the Easter eggs, that you missed or whatever, I definitely suggest going and just Googling Spider-Man Far From Home and you'll get all those articles. But yeah, so other than that, what else did I want to talk about? Like I said, acting overall was great. Visuals overall was great. I did say that it was slow start, slow plotting. I did like how we had the VR virtual reality used as a weapon in this, and I think that kind of tied, or not kind of, that ties into how much tech is advancing today, how we have all this virtual reality stuff. And so it makes it look, I thought that whole thing was interesting, especially that whole sequence on the bridge, the final fight sequence when Peter is run up to Mysterio and like Mysterio uses the fake reality to try to distract him, but you see that he remembered what that whole bridge looked like, and so he was able to hit the different droids when he needed to. So I thought that whole sequence was super cool. I really, really loved that sequence. I did write on here, should Peter be the next Tony? I think Peter should be the next Peter. He should be his own self. I don't want to see moving forward them trying to shape Peter into being just like Tony. I want Peter to be his own self, if that makes sense. But yeah, what else? I talked about Peter being outed. I talked about Tony being everywhere. Oh, so let's talk about the end credit scene. So Fury, so like I said, we thought I was confused because Fury was confused, and it come to find out Fury, that was even really Fury. That was Talis from Captain Marvel disguised as Fury, and then another Skrull disguised as Maria Hill. And the real Nick Fury is in space and world with a bunch of Skrulls. So I don't know how that ties into things. I'm sure that's going to be answered somewhere in the future MCU universe, but I did think that that was an interesting twist on things. Before we wrap things up, because the last thing I want to talk about on this, I feel like I went through that super quickly, which is, I mean, look at me go. Sorry, I had to pat myself on the back there. But yeah, I think the last main thing that I want to talk about is I want to talk about Tom Holland and Tom Holland's contract, because we all know that the whole reason we were able to even see Spider-Man in the MCU is because of a contract that was negotiated between Marvel and Sony, because Sony owns the rights to Spider-Man to include Spider-Man in the MCU. And that contract was only for 6 movies. So if you're keeping count, Spider-Man Far From Home is movie number 5, meaning in the existing contract, there is only one more movie left for Tom Holland to fill. So that brings the question then, what does Spider-Man look like after that 6th and final movie? We don't know. I don't know. I've talked about the future of the MCU a lot, I feel like, recently, especially now that we have all this stuff with all the Fox properties now being back under Marvel or whatever. So I think for me, I think they have to be very strategic and intentional about their next move, because so far everyone loves having Spider-Man in MCU, and I feel like for them to then take him out would cause a lot of ruckus, at least on the part of the fans. But also, from what I've read and gathered, it sounds like Tom Holland is in this for the long haul. So he is at this moment still excited about being Spider-Man, which is why it's like it's a plus to having these young fresh faces in the universe, because they're just getting started and they're excited to keep going. So hopefully Marvel and Sony can continue to have a great partnership as far as including Spider-Man in the MCU. But then there's another side. Sony could be like, look, it's making all this money. We can do another reboot and try to make money on our own. But my whole thing is, yeah, you can do that, but we do not need another Spider-Man reboot. We're happy with the Peter Parker we have right now. So, I mean, that's really pretty much all I have to say. I think this is the last Marvel movie of the year. Oh my gosh, guys. It's not the last Marvel show, but it is the last Marvel movie of the year. So my grade for this is going to be a B+. For the most part, like I said, I thought it was the acting across the board was solid. It looked great. It was a little slow in pacing. But other than that, I mean, it's a very enjoyable movie. I can definitely see myself watching this again and again. So a B+ from me. I want to hear what you guys have to say. Let me know. You can let me know by commenting on the Instagram post related to this episode, or you can tweet me. Either of those things work. But I will talk to you guys in the next episode. Stay up to date on new episodes by subscribing and following. You can find Currently Binging on multiple listening platforms, including iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. Take the discussion beyond the episode by following on Instagram @currentlybinging and on Twitter @currentbinge.